lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome to another episode of The Movie Show, where Steve, I know I get this a lot. I don't know how often it happens to you, but I would assume it's happened to you. You're so lucky. You get to watch all these movies. You get to watch them for free, and you get to watch them before they come out. Now,
that's true.
Yes, that is true, and that is awesome. But there's always a flip side to things, because sometimes we got to watch stuff that's just absolute garbage.
And sometimes those are on Saturday mornings when I'd rather sleep in. And it's 10 o'clock, and there are 1,000 larvae running around the theaters.
Larvae, by the way, is Steve's code word for children.
Yes. Larvae, I should say.
Well, people who are longtime Movie Show listeners would probably know that, but people who are more recent.
And then the perfect storm, after you do that, then there's a guy that has something that he's going to unwrap from home that's 28 layers of crinkle wrap. Then you got the guy next to you who's responding to his wife's like, what are they saying? And he's giving her the dialogue, and then you just lose your mind.
So it's not always peaches and cream is kind of what we're getting at. And it's also important because today we have an example of what's great about what we get to do and some examples of why it's not just that all the time.
Right.
So let's start with our big movie of the week, which thankfully is one of those that is where it's awesome to get to watch movies like this, and that is Ordinary Angels.
My name is Sharon, and I'm an alcoholic.
My advice, find a reason to be here that's bigger than you are.
I think this is it. Something about that little girl without a mom, sick, and the family bled dry from all the hospital bills. I think I'm supposed to help.
Our big movie review sponsored by Paris RV. With spring just around the corner, deals are still sizzling hot on leftover 2023 RVs at Paris RV. See them all at parisrv.com. This wasn't just a feel-good story, Steve. This was a feel-very-good story. You don't get a lot of those. But it showcases the power of faith and doing good for other people. It's Ordinary Angels. The clip you heard was Hilary Swank. And I don't know if we heard him in the clip, but Alan Ritchson is in this too, doing his best Chris Pratt impression, in my opinion. I could not stop seeing Chris Pratt.
Oh, really?
Especially with that mustache that he has. And that sort of southern accent that he had. Because it's set in Kentucky in the 1990s, based on a true story. Hilary Swank plays Sharon Stevens, who's a single mom, who's an alcoholic. She's estranged from her adult son. But then she finds a purpose she's never had before, and she even gets her faith renewed when she starts helping Ed Schmidt, that's who Alan Ritchson plays, and his family, including his daughter who needs a liver transplant.
Yeah, and she's very pushy. Kind of reminded me of The Blind Side a little bit.
The Blind Side and Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, and poor Ed, you know, he's a very proud man, and in walks this woman. He's like, oh, Ed, you're in real trouble here. And he's like, yeah, I get it. Go away. And that felt natural to me because there's no way you're going to roll over and let this woman just...
Well, and she even admittedly, she just saw that the wife had passed away. That's why he's a widower. And she decides to go to the funeral and then just say, I don't know, I feel like I want to help you.
Yeah. And just
he's like,
not
thanks,
take no,
no
for
thanks.
An answer. Yeah, go away. I think that my favorite line early on was Nancy Travis, who plays the mother-in-law. He goes, don't invite her in the house. She's a mess. And he goes, well, she'll fit right in, which I thought that was a great line.
Nancy Travis has gone from being the date in So I Married an Axe Murderer to the mother-in-law of Jack Reacher.
Yeah, but she's still good no matter
what she
does.
And really, that's what was so good about this. For me, it's nice to have a faith-affirming movie that reminds us that what we're capable of as humans when we just take care of each other.
And
much of today is divisive, and this was just like, I'm going to take care of you because I care.
Well, so Alan Ritchson, when he got the script, he started laughing when he got to the certain parts that seemed unbelievably improbable. I'm just going to tell you up front, you're going to see these scenes, and you're going to kind of roll your eyes, but then you're going to see the real scenes after the movie where they're showing you, this actually happened like this.
There was a little bit of dramatic license
taken,
but it did happen.
Yes.
Yeah, because it gets to the
point. I know, they
where,
tugged a little.
But that's why I say, you know, it would be cheesy if it wasn't a true story. And that's why I've mentioned this before, but for me, faith promoting and faith strengthening type movies work the best when you just tell the story that really happened to somebody, because you can decide for yourself, is it miraculous or is it coincidence? But right. It's there and it happened. And if it's fiction, there's always that, well, I made this happen because that's where I wanted the story to go.
Right.
But when it's true, like, I'm not going to lie, it squeezed some tears out of me at the end.
Oh, well, I was thinking of that line in A White Christmas where the general, he says, we ate and then the general ate. And then I thought, Reacher is crying, now I'm crying. I just watched lose it, and rightfully so. And I was right there with him. I mean, this thing, you better have a box of Kleenex or something, a long sleeve shirt or whatever, because you're going to be blubbering a little bit.
Yeah, and so this is worth it. To me, this is a good movie. I give it a B, a solid good movie. You know, I don't know. Hilary Swank was kind of distracting being Hilary Swank. Does that make sense? Probably why I wouldn't give it a B+ or an A-. But don't take the fact that I wouldn't give it an A- to mean that I don't think it's good, because I do think it's good.
Well, I mean, warts and all, you know, she's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
She's annoying. And I think all that shined through. I hate it when it's so cookie cutter and, you know, sanitary that people are like, oh, that can't be right. Because you can feel it when it doesn't feel genuine. But the thing that got me was people coming together to help in a situation where they have no idea who these people are.
Yes.
I thought that's what got to me. When they're clearing snow in the parking lot, that was very touching to me. And I thought, good for them.
And again, it's nice to be reminded. So for me, this was a B. What did you give it?
I gave it a B+.
A B+. And that is Ordinary Angels. It's rated PG. Yeah, which means it's good for families too. I would have recommended this for families no matter what. But this, it's clean. It's worth it, and it'll tug on the heartstrings.
Absolutely.
So for the movie show preview, sponsored by Call Climate Services, also today, Steve, we're going to talk about, and then, like I said, we get to the other side of the spectrum. And for me, that was two of the movies on our list. One of them, Drive Away Dolls.
And, you know, the trailer doesn't indicate anything about what you're about to see in this movie.
We've got Perfect Days, which is the one I wanted to get to that I didn't get to.
I still love this one. This movie. It's so laid back, and the guy is so cool, and yet he cleans toilets in Tokyo. But he does it with such, you know, when you
dignity.
Have it. Yeah, exactly. That's the word. And the whole movie is watching this dignified man do
clean toilets.
I know, but in Tokyo, the toilets are like, you could live in them. They're that amazing. Well, you
box art. You could live in the toilets of Tokyo.
They're
I am going to come up with a meme. I'm not kidding you. We're going to start a meme where we're going to take the movie poster and we're going to put things that Steve has said as if they were on the poster to promote them. No, but I love it. But that's good. So we've got that. And then we've got one called The Stolen Valley, which is kind of a Western shot here in Utah.
Yeah, down in where? Southern
Utah, down by Cedar
Kanab
City and Kanab. Yeah. Oh, I guess it's further south than Cedar if it's in Kanab, but it is Kanab.
Although they did mention Cedar City quite a bit.
We've got one called Stop Motion, which is another garbage film that I'll tell you about later.
I don't know why.
And then Totem, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, this one, actually, we had a shot at an Oscar. I think this is Mexico's entry for the Oscars.
Denmark's.
Because
it's set in Mexico, but it's from Denmark. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. We'll get to all that. And then on streaming, we've got the Avatar, The Last Airbender, the long-awaited adaptation from the cartoon for live action.
Done right, instead of the M. Night Shyamalan nonsense.
We've got Constellation, which we mentioned on Dave and Dujanovic just a minute ago.
Sci-fi. It's going to hook you for 6 episodes.
And then we've got Star Wars, The Bad Batch, the final season of the animated series based on the Clone Wars, based on the Star Wars series. And that, and plus a whole bunch of other things, but we got to take a break here on the movie show,
yeah,
Steve. But we've got a lot to talk about. Plus, of course, we'll have Telephone Torture and the movie show Top 10.
The movie show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
It's the movie show. Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales. Steve, our text
By the
question,
way, can I just say something?
Please.
The two reviews we just did. Well, we didn't do two, did we?
We just did Ordinary Angels.
Ordinary Angels and Perfect Day. I've written reviews about those. And every week I write two reviews. That's in KSLNewsRadio.com. Just go to the menu, click on the movie show, and go down, and you'll be able to read, you know, maybe in more detail what I wasn't able to tell you on the air.
Right, and that is a great thing. And if you subscribe to the KSL News Radio newsletter, the three things you need to know that they send out every day on Fridays, you'll get at least one, if not both, of the reviews that you write each week. So that's a great resource to have, and it's handy. It's also an easier thing to forward to somebody else, like, hey, we should see this. Come check out Steve's review. So that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. And
we've never mentioned it.
And
so
you're spending all the time writing the reviews. You'd like some people to read them.
Well, it'd be nice. I mean, I'm hoping that at least my the readership up in the Standard Examiner for 17 years, they thought, where'd you go? Well, here I am.
He's still around. So our text question of the day, what movie or TV show that you loved had an unsatisfying ending? We'd love to hear what you think, texting us at 57500. We've had some people already talk about that. In fact, let's see. What was the one? Well, we had one, and now it disappeared. Oh, Seinfeld.
Oh.
Here's one, a vote for Inception.
Like a negative?
Yeah, they didn't think it stuck the landing because of how cool it was during
the process. Well, they left it definitely wide open, that's for sure.
Lost. Already two votes for Lost. That one doesn't surprise me either.
That's a classic one that people like, spend years watching, and they're like, what?
Yeah. In fact, it's funny because one of the ones that we're talking about that didn't stick the landing has a character or an actor who was in the TV show Lost.
Ah.
The director of NASA, the one who's obsessed with the experiment.
Yeah.
Wasn't that guy on Lost? Anyway, well, let's review a movie, Steve, here for this segment. How about one of the ones that I was not a big fan of, and that is Drive Away Dolls.
Wait a minute. You call with a drop-off in Tallahassee, and then these broads come in and say they're ready to go to Tallahassee. They drive the car instead of you. Is that bad?
Bad if they find the goods.
So, after Margaret Qualley's character, and by the way, Margaret Qualley is Andy McDowell's daughter. I did not know that till after we watched the movie. After Margaret Qualley's character breaks up with her girlfriend and wants to get away, she and her friend, who's played by Geraldine Viswanathan, they go on a road trip to ostensibly, as you heard in the clip, deliver a car to Tallahassee, Florida. But what they don't realize is that the car they have has a briefcase in it that some mobster types want back. Those were the guys you heard in the clip.
Yeah.
Now, that's the basic story, but it's mostly, in my opinion, a sex and vulgarity fest from literally the moment the movie starts. Now, this is from one of the Coen brothers, which I didn't remember going into the movie, but when I did find out at the end, it kind of explained some of the type of humor I thought they were attempting. And I say attempting because I found maybe two jokes in the entire movie funny.
Well, there's a reason why the Coen brothers work together.
We're brothers. Okay.
Because Joel will go, hey, Ethan, uh-uh. That's not going to work, which is what it would have should have happened here.
Oh.
This is it's a lesbian theme, and there's lady loving throughout this movie. If you watch the trailer, not even hinted to. To me, that's a bait and switch, and that ticks me off.
This movie was not for me in the slightest. I give it an F-, and I nearly walked out of it.
Let's see. I definitely wasn't.
Honestly, if you hadn't been there, I probably would have walked out. But then I thought you'd give me grief for walking out of a movie.
Well, we used to, you know, Doug used to walk out of movies all the time.
But you
okay.
made a good point. Like, you got to at least, if you're going to give it a review, you got to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I got to that. That was one where I was like, I don't think there's anything in this. I've never given an F- before, but that's about how
I'm sure
felt
that's
about
even
it.
Legal.
So Drive Away Dolls, rated R, and an F- from Andy.
I give it a C-. It just didn't work, and it was just too much and not of the right thing. So
so let's take some more of your text.
Not that there's anything wrong with that,
right,
by the way.
It wasn't even that it was lesbian sex that bothered me. It was if that had just been hetero, it would have bothered me just as much.
Yeah.
Because It was just vulgar and lowest denominator,
nasty.
And it wasn't that funny. Like, it even has the crime of not being funny. So, and maybe somebody will, but for me, nope.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So here's some other movies or TV shows
that didn't.
You are a delicate
flower.
I am a delicate flower. I clutched a few pearls. And
oh, my.
Here's a vote for Dexter.
Yes. Ugh. They finally had to come out with another season just to save that whole thing.
Sons of Anarchy. This texture feels like they could have ended that one much better.
Oh, okay.
I didn't watch Sons of Anarchy, but I know that was a pretty popular one. Chuck. The TV show with Zachary Levi.
Oh.
I never got to the end, so I'm going to have to trust you on that.
Didn't they just cancel it and didn't give him a chance to finish?
Oh, that's possible.
I'm not sure, though.
Here's one. What do you think about Deliverance?
Deliverance.
Bad ending.
Really?
That's what somebody says. Another vote for the show Lost. Here's two votes for La La Land.
Ooh, ouch.
They thought, one says the ending's so stupid.
Now, here's one that did do well. Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan's show, had the best finale that you can possibly hope for in a series that went that long. Breaking Bad was a positive, stuck the landing.
And see, I'm finding that for myself, I kind of, and maybe this is just where I am in life. When I was a kid, I loved the final chapter of a trilogy. You know, when the resolution, I loved the resolution part. When the good guys won, that was my favorite part. And okay. As I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate the middle chapter of a trilogy or of a single movie that has a, you know, the third, the second act, when the hero has absorbed the worst that can be thrown at them and isn't dead. Now, they haven't won yet,
right. But
they've gotten through the worst part. And now, you know,
well, Star Wars 4, 5, and 6.
Empire Strikes Back. Return of the Jedi was my favorite when I was a kid. It's come to Empire Strikes Back. Because of just now that I'm older, I can appreciate some of the nuance and that the fact that it doesn't get its resolution. But keep those texts coming at 57500. A movie or TV show that you loved, but that you didn't feel like stuck the landing. So that's the key. It can't just be something that you never loved and it didn't stick the landing. You had to have loved it and then been like, oh, why couldn't it have?
What about Ted Lasso?
I'm going to need a little more time to decide exactly how I felt about that one.
Because maybe I was just more disappointed that it actually ended.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. The kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's the movie show. The hot and the cold of the movie show today. Looks like, though, this segment, Steve, we're going to talk about a couple of movies and... Actually, I think these were both pretty decent ones, too. So we got one of the ugh out of the way. I've got another ugh coming up later that thankfully you didn't have to see. But right now, let's talk about The Stolen Valley.
When our people moved to the reservation, there were some elders who wanted a different life. They found their new home in the heart of Alta Valley.
You're the landowner here?
Why are you here?
My mother. She's very sick.
Now, this is a Western slash crime slash thriller movie shot in southern Utah, and it tells the tale of a woman of Mexican and Navajo heritage who has to seek out the father she's never known in order to ask his financial help to pay for her mother's life-saving medical treatments. Along the way, she teams up with a fugitive cowgirl who's trying to avoid like a vengeful loan shark guy.
Yeah.
And then the two of them confront a corrupt landowner who's willing to do basically anything to get what he wants.
Is he the best bad guy?
He was a sneering villain. He had a great sneer.
The greasy hair.
Oh, yes.
And the beady eyes.
His name is Mika Fitzpatrick.
And that deep voice. Hey, boys.
Yes. All of those things.
Yeah.
So for me, like, it turned out to be really enjoyable. It's one of those where, you know, it's locally shot, and so then you're kind of like, well, let's just see. But
yeah,
it's pretty well done.
I know. I was noticing things like some of the action scenes. Cinematography was really quite there. I thought, you know, because sometimes when we shoot locally, it just doesn't turn out as well. But
right.
This, Jesse Edwards, is that his name?
Jesse Edwards is the director, but he also wrote it. And he directed, and he was the director
of
photography.
Too, yeah.
Yes, well, he mentioned his cinematographer ended up having to back out at the last minute, and so he had to helm that up. But he had some experience, and he'd done documentaries before. This was his first feature movie, and he kind of got the idea during COVID. And I learned all of this with an extended interview I did with him,
which people can.
Yeah, I was about to say we have a full length interview with Jesse Edwards that we've posted on the KSL Movie Show podcast page. Very interesting. And honestly, this is a movie I think you ought to check out. I will say there were things that were a little predictable at times, but some of the story, I actually thought that the twists and reveals that we find out the same times characters were pretty good.
Yeah,
that actually change how you look at characters.
The coincidences were pretty remarkable.
They were high, yes. And that's what I said, is there was a couple of things that you're like, okay. But once you take the twists, you're like, well, that changes this story in a very cool way.
Plus the use of the landscape down there, I thought was pretty amazing. That one where his house was and then the overhanging rock where the little pond was.
The water source?
Yeah. Where was that? I've never even heard of that place.
I didn't even think to ask him that, but now I wish I had. Speaking of the villain, that was one of the complaints I kind of had, is he veered almost into Snidely Whiplash territory, but there were other times where he was genuinely terrifying.
Yeah. No, I thought the only thing that kind of threw me was when they did the fireworks,
mm-hmm.
and then where the mom was, the fireworks were right next door.
Well, this is the 4th of July. Yeah, okay. So everybody was shooting off fireworks.
All right, that's what I thought. Because, man, there's no way that they just drove
Wait,
hours.
Gotham City is on the other side of the river from
they
Metropolis?
Drove hours to get to the place and then boom, boom, boom.
That's what I felt watching Batman versus Superman. What, these two cities are next to each other all this time? No, but it wasn't quite that. I did also like how Jesse Edwards made a native representation in the movie such a thing, and I thought that was pretty well. They were well represented with dignity. I actually felt like there was a couple of vibes that felt a little bit like Killers of the Flower Moon, which when I asked him, he's like, you know what? I had somebody else tell me that, and he said, I haven't even had a chance to see Killers yet.
Oh, yeah.
So it was unintentional, but it was, he actually said when I asked him about that they cut a scene before they realized it. They just cut it for story-wise. That was that there were people very specifically trying to do the same exact thing with this Navajo tribe as what they talked about in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
But at any rate, that is called The Stolen Valley. It is rated PG-13, but it is, I think it's family safe. And I thought it was pretty good. I gave it a C+, better than average.
I would call this a pleasant surprise. And what did I give it? Shoot. I would say probably B-.
B- for you. And that is The Stolen Valley. Now, let's talk about the movie that I wished I could have got a chance to see, but you did. Perfect Days. All right, so tell us what that scene was about.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly, but it's this gentleman who has a small apartment in Tokyo, right downtown, and he just lives a simple life, and he has these little plants, and he goes through this routine every single day, and every day when he walks out to go to his little panel truck to go clean toilets, he just looks up at the sky and just marvels at how amazing, what a beautiful day it's going to be. And then so he goes through the city. His job is to clean the public restrooms in Tokyo. But these are, talk about state of the art. These bad boys are, I mean, the bathrooms, one lady goes, I don't know how these work. It's a glass window. And she goes in and he goes, oh, just lock it. And it turns opaque.
It smokes. Oh, wow.
I mean, come on.
I still wouldn't use it.
No?
Because I'd be like,
what if
look,
it
I know
work?
A wall is there, and if I can't see through the wall anytime, it's never see-through. But if it could be see-through?
But these bathrooms were just unbelievable.
But we're Americans. I mean, we're weird about that.
You know, you're thinking, like, in our public bathrooms, oh, dear, you don't want to. But this guy had such dignity
but
and class.
Probably why you'd be is with the effort that he puts into his job.
He's there, and he's got a young kid that helps him, but he's not as interested. And this gentleman, he's just simple, and he enjoys life. And he has this great soundtrack of music that he plays all the time, and it's like 70s and 80s British and American rock stuff. And like deep stuff, you know, really good stuff. And people are like, wow, what is that? You know, they never heard of it. And he's just a cool guy. I just loved the fact that he enjoyed
life. So is the point
life.
Is the point of the story, it's called Perfect Days because even though he's in a job that what one might consider to be a less than type of job, that he doesn't view it that way. He enjoys his days for what they are, and he finds the joy in it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, see, that sounds great.
It's wonderful, and it's very slow-paced because, you know, it's just following this guy around. But I was in the perfect mood for this movie, and I just kind of let it just wash over me, and I just enjoyed the heck out of this. So different. And I know mainstream audience would be like, really? You want me to sit and watch a guy clean toilets? But that's not even a tenth of what's going on here. And it's just a beautiful film, and it's nominated. Well, it was one of the, I don't think it, did it make it to the
It was, I think, on the short list. I don't know if it actually is one of the nominees for Best Foreign Film. What did you give it, grade-wise?
A-minus.
A-minus. Oh, yeah. So an excellent movie.
This is off the charts.
And that is Perfect Days, and that is playing at the Broadway?
Yes.
Okay.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
No, have you, Doctor? As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
Steve, you're telling me that Perfect Days is nominated for an Academy Award?
It's one of the five, yeah.
Nominated. One of the five for the fourth. And would that get your vote then?
No, I think my vote would still be, shoot. I don't think I'd do Zone of Interest.
Yeah, I don't even.
Is Anatomy of a Fall in there?
No, that's for Best Picture, but I don't know if it's also for Best Foreign Film.
I don't think it is. That would be my favorite international.
Okay.
But this is really good. I mean, Perfect Days.
Well, since we're talking about foreign films, let me tell you about Totem.
Yeah.
¿Ya tienes tu deseo?
A ver, yo ya tengo el mío, pero es secreto.
Now, that was Spanish. And that is...
You're really messing with people today.
It's funny. Totem is a film from Denmark that premiered at the Berlin Film
Festival.
I know. It's set in Mexico. It's with all Mexican actors. But it's from Denmark, so hey, who cares?
Yeah.
But it's now opening in Salt Lake City at the Broadway. In it, you spend the day with a whole family in Mexico as they prepare to have a birthday party with what you come to find out has surprisingly serious undertones. Like, you can tell they're getting ready for a birthday party.
It's the father, right?
It is. So you watch from the perspective of a seven-year-old girl named Sol, and you quickly learn it's her dad's birthday, and her dad, who's only like in his early 30s at most, is terminally ill. So you mostly see all the family members as they get ready for the party and they deal with the realities of caring for someone with a terminal condition. But you're watching it through the eyes of the seven-year-old girl who doesn't want her dad to die.
Oh, okay.
And you don't know that right at first. It just kind of, like, you kind of figure this out. But here's what it was. As somebody who lived in Latin America for 2 years, this felt so real. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's shot inside the house except for some scenes in the birthday party outdoors. And it brought back a lot of happy memories for me, honestly, of being among, I was in Brazil, but there's tons of similarities. This was beautifully done. I felt like I knew this family at the end, or was even like a part of the family at the end. The youngest actresses, the girl Saul, and then she has a little cousin that's even cuter. There was a scene that made me laugh out loud. I give the movie a B+. I think it's worth your time, even though it's not particularly exciting or anything like that.
Good.
So that is Totem. And it is, I don't think it's rated, but there wasn't anything in it, you know, that was objectionable. All right, Steve, it's time for our movie show top 10. Well, all right, we're going to skip the sounder because it hasn't been working right. So let's start with the top 10. Let me just scroll down to the list here. Oh, number 10, we've got Land of Bad, which you liked.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I got a chance to see that. It's not doing very well because it had zero publicity. But it's actually a really good little film.
Zero publicity. And you were like, I wish they'd have told me about this.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a feeling there's another movie with big actors that didn't get any publicity this week that we'll talk about. Number 9, Lisa Frankenstein. All right. Yeah, I didn't think much of this.
It's made $8.5 million.
Number 8, Anyone But You, still hanging in the top 10, even though it was released pre-Christmas.
$190 million worldwide. It's doing extremely well.
Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell looking great. Yeah. Number 7, The Beekeeper, finally out of the top 5.
Yeah, but it's $144 million, so, you know, hey, I'll take that.
That did really well. Number 6, Wonka, which, by the way, just got its streaming release date in March on Max.
Yeah, probably just in time because it just went over $600 million worldwide, so big hit.
And Timothy Chalamet's got another movie opening next week, which I cannot wait for you to see, and I cannot wait to tell people about. Number 5 is episode?
The Chosen.
The Chosen, of course, right. And then the final episodes of Chosen hit next week, I believe.
Okay.
Then we've got number 4, Migration.
$258 million worldwide. That's
isn't that already on streaming?
Chugging along.
That is doing well. I tell you what, I'll talk about that next week. Number 3, Argyle.
Yeah, well, $80 million, that's not bad for, what, 3 weeks?
I'm a little surprised it's still in the top 3. Number 2 is Madam Web.
Yeah, here's the thing. People are going to see it because the reviews are so bad, they don't believe them.
For Madam Web?
They go, well, sometimes... Argyle. For Madam Web.
Okay.
Sometimes a movie can be so bad that you're thinking, well, it might be something I want to see.
But I think it's kind of fun. And then number 1, Bob Marley, One Love.
Yeah, $83 million in 1 week.
Make sure you have your subtitles.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Well, Steve, it's time for our streaming reviews. Of course, the big one this week is coming to Netflix, and it's big in that this one had a trailer released months ago that people were watching by the millions online, and it's called Avatar: The Last Airbender.
The Fire Nation is embarked on a dark path, and the world might never recover. The world needs the Avatar. It needs you, Aang.
Why were millions watching the trailer? Well, because it's a live-action remake of a popular cartoon series from Nickelodeon back in the early to mid-2000s. Surprisingly, it's not from Disney, a live-action remake of a hit cartoon, right?
Yeah, one time.
Avatar The Last Airbender, a story is set in a land where some people have the power to control or bend certain elements, fire, water, air, and earth. The story follows Aang from the Airbender tribe, who also happens to be the one person alive who can bend all four of the elements, someone in their universe known as the Avatar. Now, unfortunately, as he tries to come to grips with this, the tribe of airbenders are attacked by the firebenders, and Aang disappears. Now it's 100 years later, and the firebenders control the world, and Aang has been frozen in the ice for those 100 years. And now he's free, and he's got to learn how to use all the powers to stop the firebenders' evil rule and then bring freedom back. Now, I never watched the cartoon series. My kids have watched it, and they were fighting over who was watching ahead of the others. It was kind of funny. But I know that it is a deeply loved cartoon series by a whole generation of people who watched it on Nickelodeon or who were fans of anime. So I can't speak to that perspective specifically, but as somebody who'd never watched it with no frame of reference, I found myself enjoying this very quickly, and the way that they tell the story, it's got an epic feel to it. I love epic, especially good versus evil epic. The visuals, I thought, were the highest quality, especially for something that's just going to be a streaming series. Mm-hmm. They obviously didn't spare the expense. So for me, I believe that it's something that non-fans can jump right into.
Well, I think fans will as well, because I watched some of the cartoon, and it felt like this was just a live-action version of that. And that might be a downfall for some people. I read one where the guys, they're just repeating the same thing that they did in the cartoon. Well, it's live action.
I mean, if you adapt the book, don't you adapt the same story?
You'd think. And it's certainly better than the movie that M. Night Shyamalan tried to throw at us.
Yeah. That I have heard universally. I don't know anybody who ever liked that movie.
Yeah, that was not good.
So for me, but I mean, trust me, well, watch the clip online. If you've just heard people talking about it, to me, the weakest portion, I need a few more episodes, but Aang wasn't, you know, blowing me away with the actor, his
performance.
He's just
a little kid, though.
Well, I know, but then you see movies where the kid actor is, like, jaw-dropping. So yeah. I'm just saying. I didn't say he was bad. His was the performance that felt a little bit weak.
I think the epic nature of it can intimidate a kid.
And that's possible.
And I think maybe some of the writing... one complaint I heard was that, well, it's too sophomoric. The writing is, you know, they keep explaining everything, and like, yeah, that's because they're for kids. This is a show for kids.
Correct. This is rated TVPG, so that means that, like, it is totally safe. But it's cool. Like, yeah. There was a little bit surprised because those firebenders, they don't hesitate to, like, roast people all the way to the bone.
Oh, yeah, they toast them good.
And I was like, oh, TVPG, but okay. I mean, they didn't really show it, but... Yeah. Anyway, that is Avatar: The Last Airbender. For me, I give it a grade, and I haven't seen the whole series yet, but it's a B+ for me so far.
Yeah, I would say the same for her.
All right, now let's talk about Constellation.
I miss you so much.
I miss you too, Mama. Will you be careful out there?
Always.
All right, Constellation is another streaming series that has started out really strong, that I think, and it stars, and thanks to Stone for getting us the pronouncer, Noomi Rapace. Noomi Rapace. Okay.
Are you sure about that last name?
That's an official on the internet lookup. Anyway, she was in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movie version from a few years ago. Anyway, she plays Joe Erickson, an astronaut on the International Space Station. When she comes back to Earth after a disaster in space, her life's not exactly the way it was as she remembers it when she went up to the station.
Yeah, there's an experiment that the guy from Breaking Bad, Mike, I don't know who he is in this one, but he's got this experiment and keeps saying, whatever you do, I know the whole thing is going up, you know.
Get me that data.
Get me that experiment because it could change the world. And I thought, okay, this has got to be something really cool. And so they spend all this time getting it and then trying to figure out what it's all about. And I just blew through the whole thing. I just couldn't wait.
I totally get it. I only haven't watched more because I ran out of time before today's show to get further through it. So I got through the first three that have dropped today on Apple TV+.
I think I started watching it Sunday just because I knew I had the day.
Smart.
And just figured I'll just go with it. And then it hooked me. But
it's so much better than ISS. A movie on the International Space Station is like night and day compared to that one.
Well, and the kids involved and the little girl who's, you know, at first mom may be coming home, maybe not.
Yeah.
All of that, and just the drama of it, it'll hook you. I just thought the ending was a little soft, and
that's unfortunate.
I'd be looking forward to seeing what you think about it.
So for me, it's a B so far.
Oh, yeah.
You saw the whole thing. Where would you put it?
I think it would start at a B+ and end at a B-.
All right, and you won't be able to see the whole thing until sometime mid to late March.
Yeah, these come out every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday on Apple TV+.
All right. The first three are out now.
One last one to talk in this segment. An animated show over on Prime Video called The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
Welcome to the future. It's the year 14,002, and you're in the Ergulon Galaxy.
A case came in this morning that only two delusional narcissists would attempt, and they asked for you.
In a fun way or a weird way?
Is that Natasha Lyonne?
It is. So this is one where you'll recognize voices, and it's an animation style. It's basically, as I was watching it, I thought, this is kind of like if Grey's Anatomy was a cartoon and set in a space hospital.
Oh, cool.
Because there's plenty of stuff about the interpersonal relationships between
the
characters.
Is it funnier, hopefully?
It is. Oh, yeah. No, it's a comedy, and it's about a half-hour episode each. But you've got Kieran Culkin. You've got Natasha Lyonne that you just heard. There's a couple of voices from Saturday Night Live that are on it. And then the two main ones are Keke Palmer and Stephanie Soo.
Okay.
So good voice cast. Kieran Culkin has a great voice to listen to. It's really kind of silly, stupid. It's very adult, but they're not like vulgar adult. It's just jokes aren't going to land if you're not an adult and you don't get what they're referring to. So kind of frenetic. Grey's Anatomy, if it was animated, that is The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
Where can I see that?
On Prime Video. I gave it a C- so far. I probably won't even watch the rest, but it was chuckle-worthy. So that is our first segment of big streaming for this week. We've got more to talk about after the break, but we also want to read just a couple of texts. 57500, what movie did you love but didn't think it stuck the landing? I love Daddy's Home 2 with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, but I thought the theatrical corny ending kind of ruined what I was enjoying so far. How I Met Your Mother, I'm not surprised to see that on the list. We'll keep taking those texts, 57500. Something you love that didn't stick the landing, movie or TV show, on The Movie Show.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan,
the actor?
On KSL News Radio.
Steve, we've got more streaming reviews to get through. So let's start. I love this Back to the Future music, but we're going to have to cut it off for some Star Wars music. Star Wars, The Bad Batch.
We can't just walk away. Not with the Empire imprisoning the kid. Omega's been waiting for us a long time. Our mission is not over yet.
Now, if you've watched the Star Wars The Clone Wars animated series, it started on Cartoon Network 15 years ago. Then it eventually migrated over to Netflix, where a lot of people caught it. And then it eventually migrated over to Disney+.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Filoni, who's been over the whole sort of Star Wars animated universe, this is The Bad Batch, which is a continuation of Clone Troopers that were part of the Clone Wars.
Aren't they like
if you're not a Star Wars fan at all, everything I said is gobbledygook. But if you are a Star Wars fan, you probably already know what The Bad Batch is.
Okay, I didn't. But to me, when I started watching this third season, it just reminded me of like the Dirty Dozen. Like just these misfits that are just kind of band together and they kind of do stuff.
It's funny because they use clones, so it should be an exact copy, right? That was the whole purpose of having clones, was that your whole army was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Well, these guys aren't. But as they were cloning, there were some that were defective, and then there were some that they specially bred with certain abilities, and that's who the Clone Squad 99 became, the Bad Batch. And so there's one that was like, they all from the same stock, but one's like a hulking size, one's like a super tracker. And you can tell because of, you know, he's a super tracker because he has a headband, and that's how you know.
So they have a special set of skills.
Yes, very special. So at any rate, they were like a commando force that they would use when they needed specialties done. Now, Clone Wars are over. Emperor's ruling the galaxy. Bad Batch trying to find their way. This is part of where the Empire switches from clones to stormtroopers, which are just regular people. So that was a lot of explanation for the Bad Batch. And this is season three. Omega, the little kid that we heard, they don't want to abandon. She bugged the heck out of me in the first two seasons. Hmm. But I kind of like her in this third season. So
yeah, I've only seen the third season, and I like her too.
Yeah, so they did a much better job with her this time. But again, Dave Filoni.
You kind of forget, though, that it's animated because it's deep into Star Wars.
Oh, yes, and it's good, but it's part of a larger series. You don't want to jump in where you jumped in necessarily.
Oh,
so, no, that's okay, but I think you'll enjoy it even more when you see the rest of the story.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about Messi's World Cup.
Para ganar el mundial sería el final soñado.
The 2022 World Cup.
It's 64 Super Bowls rolled into 1 month.
This might mark the final time we witness Lionel Messi.
Throughout his 17-year career, Messi has yet to secure the ultimate prize.
So this is what if they made The Last Dance and they aired it during Michael Jordan's final season or Michael Jordan's first season in Washington. This is all about Lionel Messi. This is on Apple TV Plus. If you remember, they have Messi coming to Miami, that whole story that we talked about a couple of months ago. This, though, is a documentary specifically about Messi's journey in last year's World Cup in Qatar, where Argentina...
And previous World Cup issues.
Right, right. But the documentary was in the works from the time they started that. Messi fans are going to love it.
Yeah.
Football, soccer fans, the soccer... that call it football fans are going to love it. American football fans, probably not. But I'm not a Lionel Messi fan personally, but can't deny how good he is. And I do like soccer, so I've enjoyed watching the series.
You know what I liked about this was the humility. He just seems like he just...
I mean, other than the fact that this is a 10-episode worship series.
I know, but I think... Yeah, sure he's making
money
off
it. But he's very humble on camera.
But he doesn't
look
like...
He's the opposite of Jordan, how Jordan was on camera in The Last Dance, I'll say that.
I mean, to me, he's just like a team player. He just seemed to push all the right buttons, I thought, for a sports figure. And the fact that it was such a Cinderella story at the last World Cup, that was unbelievable.
I need Gustavo on the mic. Gustavo, are you a Messi fan? Come on, Gustavo. Oh, he's eating a granola bar. I asked him at the exact
worst time.
We're talking about Lionel Messi, and he's eating a granola bar. Gustavo,
yes,
unbelievable. Sad. All right, well, Messi's World Cup, I give it a C+ so far.
Wow. I thought I saw
But Messi fans are going to give it an A+.
Have you seen all four episodes?
No, I've only seen the first one.
Oh.
Well, that's wait, so get, far, just well, one episode.
I
know what
all...
happened because I watched the World Cup.
Yeah, I know. I did too, but I watched this, and I thought it's phenomenal.
Okay.
So I'm
okay.
A B+.
And I will watch the rest of it. So it's the C+ isn't keeping me from going. All right. And our final segment, our final streaming thing to talk about, Steve, Sacred Soil, the Piney Woods School Story. I did not see that one.
I didn't get a chance to see it either.
So really quick, what's it about?
I have no idea. I forgot
okay.
to go back and look. Of the 28 things that we had to talk about
I
this
thought
week.
You were going to have. All right. Well, on Hulu, there's Sacred Soil, the Piney Woods School Story, which we did not watch. We did have somebody text in, Steve, asking about the name of that last series in our last segment. And I don't know if they were talking about...
Constellation?
If they were talking about Constellation, which was on Apple TV Plus, about the space station, or if they were talking about the second best hospital in the galaxy, which was the animated one on Prime Video. So hopefully that answers that texter's question. So,
by the way, True Detective ended last Sunday. Good finale. Not great, but pretty good.
Still stuck the landing, yes or
well,
no?
Well, some would say no.
A little
no.
bit of a wobble.
There was a little bit, yeah.
So it took it down
it took
from a
half,
10 to maybe a 9.8.
And Death and Other Details is still going well. Sixth episode this week, four to go, Hulu's on Tuesdays.
Okay, and our next segment, we will have Telephone Torture.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
It's Telephone Torture, sponsored by our friends at the Megaplex Theater. Today's theme... is a cartoon made into a live-action movie in honor of Avatar, The Last Airbender. So this could be It's to just save you the trouble. It's a cartoon that was made into a live action movie. So Avatar: The Last Airbender would not qualify as that is a live action series that was from a cartoon. But we will take a, it doesn't mean it was a cartoon movie made into a live action movie. It was a cartoon series that they eventually made a live action movie.
Are you excluding any particular studio?
I am excluding Disney's live action remakes of their own animated
stuff. That's going to help a lot.
Okay, so that will give you. Now, what I need you to do is I need you to call 575-TALK, 575-8255, if you would like to win an awesome prize from the Megaplex Theaters, which is?
We call it
the date night pack.
Yeah, this is the standard two tickets to any movie you want to see, two drinks, and a tub of popcorn.
Yeah, so that is the prize for today's telephone torture. And, hey, don't forget, they're still doing the Filmed in Utah series. This week's film is called Can't Help Singing, which I've never seen.
It's Dina Durbin and Robert Shute.
Do you know where it was filmed in Utah?
Yeah, down in the Kanab.
Oh, in Kanab. Hey, so similar.
In that area, yeah.
And you could also go see the...
It's a lovely musical. I haven't seen it in 1,000 years.
You should watch The Stolen Valley and then watch... Can't Help Singing to see how Southern Utah and Kanab has aged over the years, huh?
It might not be Kanab, but it's pretty close.
All right. Well, here is, do we have our first potential victim of a cartoon made into a live-action movie? Who do we have on the line here? Hello, who's this? No one. Oh, there we go. All right, turn down your radio, listen to your phone.
Did he say Obi-Wan?
I heard Sully.
Hello?
Hello.
Maybe we should go to my hearing centers.
Hi.
Hey, what's your name?
Dan.
Dan. All right, Dan.
So close.
Yeah, we were right there. Maybe we need to get our hearing checked here.
He's like Obi-Wan's closer than.
Well, all right, Sully. I don't know what I heard. Okay, Dan. Do you like cartoons?
Love cartoons.
All right, here's the first question. These are all going to be questions about the same movie. You'll get one question. If you're right, you win. If you're wrong, we'll go to the next person. One of the early ideas floated around for this movie was that it would follow a similar approach to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, in which the actors would be interacting with animated versions of the main characters. However, this idea was quickly scrapped in favor of pursuing performances in full rubber costumes from Jim Henson's Creature Shop. This was a cartoon made into a live-action movie.
With Muppets.
With full rubber costumes from Jim Henson's Creature Shop. Doesn't say Muppets.
I have no idea.
All right. Is that correct, Corey?
No.
You know what? One of these times, Steve, we need to find a movie that is like, I don't know or I have no idea. So if somebody gets it right, it'd be totally by accident. Dan, nice try. Appreciate you calling in. All right, let's see. Who's our next potential victim winner? Nobody. Man, we struggled to get people to call.
Anybody on the line?
Do we have anybody on the line right now ready? All right. Well, we'll give out our next clue. And, of course, you can always try to text the correct answer to 57500 because maybe you are not where you can call on the phone. And we've already got two correct text answers, Steve.
Oh, we do?
So if we don't get a caller here in the next minute or two, we will pick from our text line with the correct answers. All right, here's clue number two. Do we have anybody on the line, Corey? Oh, we do. All right. Who's this?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, are you ready?
I think so.
Did you hear the first clue before I give you the second clue?
Yeah, wasn't it about... An animated movie kind of like Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, so originally they were going to do it like Roger Rabbit, where live people would talk to cartoons, but then they changed it and they made the main characters dress up in rubber suits from Jim Henson's Creature Shop. So here's clue number two. This was the highest grossing independent film for 10 years in history until Blair Witch Project blitzed it in 1999. It made $135 million in domestic box office and $66 million in the foreign box office when it premiered in 1989.
Oh, wow. In 1989?
1989. It was a live-action movie made from a cartoon in 1989 where the main characters wore full rubber costumes from Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Oh, I know this. What is it?
Start the ticker, Corey.
Yes. Would it be Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, is that correct? Oh, that was a really good guess. That was a really good guess. No. That was a good guess. We appreciate you playing. All right. Do we have another caller, Corey? 801-575-8255. Last chance before we have to give this away to our text questioners or text liner responders. Who's this?
This is John.
John, are you ready?
Sure.
In the 1980s, the first pitch to creators Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird the first pitch that they got for a film treatment was from Roger Corman. The idea was to have the Turtles played by four comedians who were popular at the time: Gallagher, Sam Kinison, Bobcat Goldthwait, and Billy Crystal. The actors would be dressed in turtle shells and have their arms and legs painted green.
Wow.
That was the first pitch for this movie from 1989. What do you think?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Is that correct, Corey? Congratulations. You are our winner. It is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1989, where, interestingly enough, as I was doing some research for this, the actors who were in the costume were, you know, not the voices who voiced them.
Oh, okay.
So Corey Feldman voiced one of the turtles, but he was not actually in the rubber costume. I still think that's the best Ninja Turtle movie of all of them, although the one last year, the animated one, was really, really well
done.
Yeah,
they did a really nice
job. So, congratulations. Stay on the line. Corey and Gustavo will get your information. You've won our Megaplex prize pack from our friends at Larry H. Miller Megaplex Entertainment and Theaters.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
Steve, before we wrap up the show, it is worth mentioning that the Zions Indie Film Festival starts on Monday down in Orem, and it runs through next Saturday. There's a couple of premieres that are going to be exclusive to that, including one called Cabrini.
Yeah.
And a lot to choose from. We have a full interview with the directors of the festival, Michelle and Marshall Moore.
Yeah.
That's also on our website or on kslnewsradio.com on the podcast section under the movie show, as well as the interview with the director of this week's movie that was filmed here in Utah, The Stolen Valley, Jesse Edwards. So we invite you to go check that out. If you missed part of the movie show, go and check out the podcast form of it online at KSL.
I've known these guys for a long, long time, and they have done a marvelous job. From the LDS Film Festival when they took it over, now the Zion, which gives it a little broader spectrum. You can put more movies in if it's not just completely LDS films. So.
Yes, and it is more than that, but they do have the faith-based element.
Oh,
they do. They made sure that they still include
that. Garrett Batty's got a movie this year, and this is a great, great group of people down there.
All right. Well, it's
all at the Sarah Theater, by the way.
At the Sarah Theater in Orem, yes. Yeah. And you can buy tickets on the website, zionsindiefilmfest.com. Or just do a search on Google for Zions Indie
Film
Fest.
Just go look
at
their programs. It's going to have some cool stuff in there.
Yeah. So let's do rapid fire real quick, Steve. We got one more movie that I saw that you didn't that we'll talk about right now. It's called Stop Motion. We won't even play the sound from it, which it doesn't deserve it anyway. A girl who makes stop motion movies, using puppets. She starts to go insane after her controlling mother, who was actually a stop motion horror legend herself. Her mom dies, and as the girl goes crazy, she starts to see things that may or may not be happening, and her own movie that she's making, that she was originally going to try to finish up her mom's movie, but then she starts making her own, and it gets weirder and weirder. Look.
Doesn't it take on a life of its own?
Yeah, it was disgusting. It was disgusting. It was not clever. It got weirder and weirder as it went along, and grosser as it went along. I honestly thought this to myself, who actually likes this kind of movie? And why? I don't even want to tell you what happens. I don't even want to give it that much credit. I give stop motion a D-. And honestly, the only reason I didn't give it an F was because the effort to make stop motion is actually pretty rigorous. And I want to give credit to whoever did that. But at the same time, it begs the exact same question. Why waste that much effort on something like this? Stop motion rated R. D- for me.
Sorry.
All right. Now, there was a couple of others that neither one of us saw. Mea Culpa, which is on Netflix. I'm going to read you the log line from the studios.
Okay.
We don't know what's in it because we didn't see it. When a criminal defense attorney played by Kelly Rowland takes on the murder case of an artist played by Trevante Rhodes, the truth isn't as obvious as it seems. While she tries to determine the innocence or guilt of the cagey yet seductive client, it's uncovered that everyone is guilty of something. And this is my favorite part of the log line. Tyler Perry's Mea Culpa explores what happens when burning desire takes hold and things get hot and dangerous.
Good grief.
That one's rated R on Netflix. And then we have Red Right Hand, which they didn't screen for us. Kind of disappointing.
Yeah, Andie McDowell.
McDowell. Andie McDowell's got a movie up against her own daughter this week.
That's going to be a problem.
Drive Away Dolls, which we don't run around. Anyway, when the sadistic kingpin Big Cat in Red Right Hand, Andie McDowell, who runs the town, forces Cash, played by Orlando Bloom, back into her services, Cash finds out he's capable of anything, even killing, to protect the town and the only family he has left. I don't even know where that's playing. Is that theaters?
Red Right Hand? That's in Megaplex.
At the Megaplex. Yeah. All right. Well, I wish they'd have let us see it. It's got a couple of big names.
It's a Magnolia picture, so, you know, they're a pretty reliable studio.
Well, they didn't do that for us. All right, Steve, real quick, recapping what we talked about today, okay. Our big movie of the week, Ordinary Angels. This one got a B from me.
A B plus from me. Yes, yes, yes.
All right. We got Drive Away Dolls. I gave it an F minus.
I gave it a C. No, no, no.
G, maybe, for garbage. I don't know.
I don't think that's what...
Any rate, it's a road trip movie. It's not worth your time, in my opinion. Then we had the locally filmed The Stolen Valley.
Yeah, I'd say definitely see this.
Yeah, this is a Western crime thriller shot in southern Utah. Some vibes of Killers of the Flower Moon, but gorgeously shot.
Yeah, surprisingly.
From a first-time writer and
feature director. I thought the score was amazing.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. The score was very good. Then we have Perfect Days.
Perfect Days. Oh, Academy Award nominated. This is a wonderful film, just about a simple guy who just enjoys the pleasures of life in the simplest of ways. It's just a sweet film.
And then I saw Totem, which is playing at the Broadway. It's a Spanish language movie about a family in Mexico throwing a birthday party for their terminally ill brother slash dad. And it's just so genuine, so real. I so enjoyed it.
And Perfect Days, by the way, is also at the Broadway.
Ah, okay. On streaming, we have Avatar The Last Airbender, which all 8 episodes are available right now to stream on Netflix. I've seen 3 of them, really enjoyed it so far. Didn't watch the cartoon, though.
Watch the cartoon. It's similar to this, but you can tell the production values are really high in this series.
And that one's rated TVPG. Constellation on Apple TV Plus, that one's rated for mature audiences.
The first 3 episodes are available now, and then each Wednesday there'll be a new one, up to 8. I've seen them all. I wish the ending was a little bit better, but it's really a great ride.
But the good news is you won't know that for several weeks.
Yeah,
as the watcher.
And you may have a different feel about it too.
We've also got Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy on Prime Video, Star Wars: The Bad Batch on Disney Plus, Messi's World Cup on Apple TV Plus, and Sacred Soil: The Piney Woods Story on Hulu.
Yeah, it's a bunch.